This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. EN 1000.
So, the Chicago Bears have a lot of work to do if they want to get back to being a playoff team that they were last season. It's not just about finding a kicker. Can they win with this quarterback? Do they have to get a better backup quarterback? Do they need to move on from Mitchell Trubisky and go find somebody else? Where are they going to get a tight end that can make plays in the passing game? Have they cleared enough salary cap space, or will they, to go get Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, Eric Ebron? What do you do with the two number two picks and the two number four picks that you have because your number one was traded in the Khalil Mack deal? Mike Tannenbaum has been the general manager for two National Football League franchises. He's at the Senior Bowl, and he does great work on ESPN, and he's been really good to us on this show. Hey, Mike, good morning. How are you?
Catman, I'm late. What's the fine? I'm an hour late. Fine me.
You're all good, man. As long as we get to talk to you, we don't always get you, and we love having you on this show.
Great to be with you, and really exciting time in pro football. We got the Senior Bowl this week, then the Pro Bowl, then obviously a great Super Bowl coming up, and then should be a compelling offseason as well.
So the Bears have been checking out the tight ends at the Senior Bowl because they obviously have to get more productivity. They did not have a tight end with, we hear about guys getting 1,000 yards in a season. They didn't have 200 yards, 200 from a receiving at that position. How do they fix tight end?
Well, hopefully, they get a couple guys back healthy. That's a start. There are a couple of interesting tight ends down here. One in particular that I'm looking forward to watching is Harrison Bryant from FAU. Cap, he's a big, really good-looking athlete. Big question about whether or not he could block. He was productive in Lane Kiffin's offense last year at FAU. There'll be a number of interesting options for them, but I think Harrison Bryant could be an interesting guy come draft day.
So if you were looking at the Bears situation, and there's Mitchell Trubisky sitting there, and, you know, boy, we screwed up. We should have had Mahomes, Deshaun Watson's in the draft. Okay, that's all by the boards because you can't redraft the 2017 draft. How do you fix their offense? Is it simply get a better offensive line, maybe upgrade two spots, get a tight end that can make plays in the passing game? Is it getting a competitive guy to try and beat Mitch out? What do you do there?
Yeah, I think it starts at quarterback, and I think you compare and contrast the comments that Chris Ballard made of the Indianapolis Colts talking about Jacoby Brissett is going to be someone they're going to evaluate, and what Ryan Pace said, obviously, about Trubisky, because ultimately your locker room is going to hold you in check, and Mitch Trubisky has done some good things. I don't think he's, like many others, feel like they should just completely move on from him. But clearly, competition at every position brings out the best, and your locker room is going to watch you. And I think if they could bring somebody in, we saw it this year where the Miami Dolphins brought in somebody like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who played well. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill played very well for Tennessee. And if you could bring in a guy like let's say a Teddy Bridgewater that could compete with Trubisky, I think that's a good start. Kyle Long's retiring. You're going to have to address the offensive line. And, yeah, sure, if you could add a tight end, I think that makes sense as well, Cap. But to me, fundamentally, it starts at quarterback. And for Mitch Trubisky to win over the locker room and the fan base, I think him beating out somebody that has some stature in the league, like a Bridgewater, will actually serve him well.
So if a Teddy Bridgewater gets the phone call from Ryan Pace, or his agent does, says, we'd like to bring you in here, is he coming in saying, I'll compete with that guy? Or does a guy like a Teddy Bridgewater go, no. It's going to cost you X number of dollars, 15, 20, whatever the number is, and I'm coming in as the starter, or I'm not signing?
Well, again, I think the way you appeal to a free agent, much the way Tennessee acquired Tannehill in a trade and redid his contract, is to say, like, look, you shouldn't be scared of competition, and the best players are going to play. So if Mitchell Trubisky plays well, you're going to come here and sit. But if you come in here and you're better than Trubisky, and obviously it's an upgrade over a guy like Chase Daniel, then you're going to play. And that's what, pro football should be about at the end of the day, Cap. It's a meritocracy. The best players should play.
Can you, in an offseason without a number one pick, can you fix an offensive line that woefully underachieved. You just fired Harry Hiestand. You have nothing at tight end other than Trey Burton coming off a second surgery. Can you fix all that in the offseason?
Yeah, again, as I said earlier, I think like a tight end, again, it starts with health. You know, Burton did some productive things in Philadelphia. He does. I think he is a good scheme fit for the offense. Again, if he can stay healthy. In terms of the offensive line, you can look at what the Atlanta Falcons did last year. I thought they attacked their offensive line. They took two guys in the first round, Caleb McGarry and Chris Lindstrom. They signed a couple of free agents in Jermon Brown. There's ways to address both the offensive line in the draft as well as in free agency. And I think given the depth of the tackle position this year in particular, Cap, I think you could possibly get somebody in the second round, and I'm sure that's one of the areas the Bears will be looking at very carefully this week in Mobile.
As you look at the Chicago Bears team, do you personally, with all your football knowledge, think, you know what, if they do address the offensive line and they bring in a quarterback to compete with Mitch Mariota, whoever it is, and they go get a tight end, yeah, I could see that team back in the playoffs, or do you think they're farther away than those of us in this town want to admit?
Yeah, I think their defense is going to give them a puncher's chance. Obviously, they didn't turn the ball over as much in 2019 as they did in 18. That was going to be hard to do, but I think there's enough pressure players on defense that's going to keep them in most games. With that said, I think it does go back to the quarterback position, Cap, because when you look at the division, clearly, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. You certainly can make an argument that Matt Stafford went healthy, and even when Kirk Cousins had that long streak this year, that they may very well, in fact, have the fourth best quarterback in the division. However, because their defense can play at a championship level, they still should be in it. It's just I think they have to face the reality that bringing in another quarterback would send the right message not only to the quarterback position but to the whole team in the locker room that we're going to be a performance-based franchise and the best players will play regardless of where they're drafted.
Who are the guys that down there at the Senior Bowl at the quarterback position? I know Jalen Hurts is supposed to be there. There's a few, Justin Herbert from Oregon. Are there some quarterbacks that you're looking at and going, that guy could play for me?
Jordan Love is a really interesting guy. First of all, Herbert will be the headliner coming out of here. Everybody knows about him from Oregon. 6'6", looks the part, had a really strong day yesterday. But Jordan Love, Cap, really interesting guy. Utah State, played better as a junior than a senior, but this past year played against LSU, played against BYU, played against Boise, 6'4", throws the ball well. This is an important week for him. We go back a year ago, it was interesting to hear Dave Gettleman's comments coming out of the draft when they said that the Giants in part took Daniel Jones based on his strong week in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. So Jordan Love is a guy that could work his way into the first-round discussion.
In looking at a guy like Jalen Hurts, where are you on him? I've always questioned, well, I don't know if that guy's an NFL quarterback. There are others that think he is because of Lamar Jackson's evolution. What do you think of Hurts?
Here's what's really intriguing to me, and I brought this up before. I'm going to keep bringing it up because I think it's so fascinating. What happens if the Baltimore Ravens draft Jalen Hurts? Cap, is this what pro football could look like in 10 years when you possibly have two elements in your backfield that could throw it and run it? And think about an offensive backfield that has both Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts in it. Do you know how hard that would be to defend? So as a fan of the sport, I would love to see the Ravens draft Jalen Hurts and see what happens.
So what you're saying is if you had them both back there, boom, quick toss to Jalen Hurts, he might stop and throw.
Yeah, I mean, I've been around a lot of great defensive minds in my career, from Coach Belichick to Bill Parcells to Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, and 100% of them always talk about when the quarterback can make plays with his feet, like, in fairness, a guy like Mitch Trubisky, it puts incredible pressure on us. And imagine if you put two of those guys back there. And I think Hurts is he's so dangerous to defend in terms of his arm, I think, has gotten better. His accuracy has improved. I think it has a ways to go. I think Lincoln Riley was helpful. But if you chart the number of missed tackles and tackles he broke, it's really incredible. So I think you put him in a backfield with Lamar Jackson, I think it'd be fascinating to watch.
Offensive line, Bears need help there. They're picking 43 and 50 right now, and then two picks in the fourth round. Is there a deep pool of offensive linemen in this year's class? Is that a position that the best ones are going to be gone quick?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be top heavy. Like guys like Andrew Thomas are elite left tackles, kid from Georgia. You know, he'll go quickly. But you know, there's guys like Lloyd Cushenberry, for example, from LSU. You know, he's a plug-and-play guy. He's probably a second-round guy, not a high-end athlete, but a little bit like a guy like McCoy that came out of A&M a year ago. So you could find offensive linemen in this draft. You know, they may not be headliners like elite left tackles, but guys that could certainly come in and contribute right away.
There's a kid at Florida Atlantic, a tight end named Harrison Bryant. I know people think he can make plays in the passing game. When Adam Shaheen was coming out, he was fairly highly regarded, but coming from Ashland Division II, and he has never flashed or shown anything at the NFL level. What do you remember about Adam Shaheen versus a guy like this, who's another Florida Atlantic, is not like playing at Alabama?
Yeah, we talked about him a couple of minutes ago. A lot of these guys, it's the physicality cap. You know, can they withstand the rigors of you know, blocking a defensive end, a five technique, you know, a guy that's going to be 280 to 290 pounds. And the physicality of these guys, it takes a minute. And that's just something that some guys can make that transition. Sometimes it takes a little bit. And when you watch Harrison Bryant, he's a guy that it's going to take a little while because he definitely is going to need to get stronger. But he has some athleticism. He's an intriguing guy to me.
In the Super Bowl, we've got a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes who's, as Matt Nagy called him, generational. He's a generational talent. Jimmy Garoppolo's a nice player. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Who do you give the advantage to? Because Jimmy Garoppolo's defense is otherworldly. Kansas City's been playing better, but they're not at that level.
Yeah, I really like San Francisco in this game because I think defending a two-back run's really hard. And for most of that game, Jimmy Garoppolo had like less than 8 passes. I just think that it's going to be really hard to be prepared. I know they have the extra week, but I got to give the edge to San Francisco. I mean, look, Mahomes is an unbelievable talent, you know, best player in our sport. I just think at the end of the day, if Raheem Mostert's averaging 5 to 6 yards a carry, I think they're going to minimize the amount of touches that Mahomes has. And Cap, I think it's going to be – we'd all love to see, you know, Patrick Mahomes down 4 with about 1:50 to go, 2 timeouts at his own 20. I just think the time of possession is going to get lopsided, and I just don't totally trust that Kansas City Chiefs defense.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you taking time. You're awesome. We love having you on this show.
Same here, Cap. Really appreciate it, and should be a great couple of weeks of football here.
You bet. We'll talk to you as free agency gets close.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. There he is, Mike Tannenbaum. He's a GM for 2 teams, the Jets and the Dolphins, now does great work for ESPN, and he's down at the Senior Bowl. 312-332-3776. We'll play our fun game, Shot, No Shot. It's coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
Cap, Cap, Cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's Home for Sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
In the great city of Chicago, First Midwest Bank Studio, I'm David Kaplan. If you're going to be at the Illinois State at Bradley game tonight, the War on 74, come say hi. Come say hello. I'll be down there. And you know who I'm working with tonight, Danny and Chris? The voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, Dan McLaughlin. He and I will be on the call on NBC Sports Chicago, so looking forward to that.
Will he be wearing jorts?
Probably.
Oh, you could both wear your G-jackets.
I didn't bring mine. It's at home. I'll have one on tomorrow.
I thought you're all in. I thought you live life all in.
I do live life all in.
Commit to the jean jacket. Wear the jean jacket.
I'm in sweats today, man. This is how I travel. My suit's in a garment bag.
Weak.
It's not weak. It's
weak. You committed to the jean jacket.
How you travel? You're driving in a car.
Correct. Why would I want to wear my suit all day?
No, you don't have to wear a suit, but you don't have to. All right, never mind.
I never understood people traveling in sweats. I don't get it. I just went to L.A. for the holidays. I went on the plane exactly like I'm dressed now. Jeans and a shirt.
Yes. Well, like a normal day.
I need to wear sweats on a plane. Why? Because jeans are so uncomfortable these days that you can't sit in jeans for 4 hours.
But Danny, did you hear how he phrased it? He's traveling today, so he needs to dress appropriately. You're not traveling. You're driving downstate.
Yeah, I got 3 hours each way.
Okay. You can't wear jeans for 3 hours?
No, I'd prefer to be in sweats, to be honest with you. I show up. They give me a little locker room. I put my suit on. I do the game. I go back in the locker room. I take the suit off, put the sweats on. I drive back home. It's way easier. And when I fly to Philly on Friday, I wear sweats. I carry my suit. I go to the hotel. I hang up my suit. I get up in the morning. I put the sweats back on. I go to the arena, put the suit on, and I do the game. And I come home. Like, I've got a system here.
Yeah, you and your outfits.
Not my first rodeo. You guys got to dress up to fly.
I don't dress up. I just don't down.
We're treating it as a normal day. It's not a special event day. We're not saying, well, I'm traveling today. You're getting in a car and you're going to Southern Illinois. That's where you're going.
Central. But I...
Well, yeah. Southern from Chicago. No?
Okay. Correct.
Okay. All right. But, so, yeah, there it is.
Why would I not want to be comfortable?
Because you're not really traveling. Like, if you were going to Europe, I would understand. If you were flying to Africa, I would understand. You said to us that you are traveling today. You're not traveling.
Yes, when I'm in a car for 6 hours, three each way, that's traveling.
But are your jeans that uncomfortable?
No,
like,
they're not.
Jeans are the most comfortable thing I wear.
No. Sweats are the most comfortable.
Yeah, I'm not into the sweats thing. I know Sylvie does the sweats thing. Since he's become a suburban dad, he doesn't go anywhere not in his sweats. Like, I always felt like and no offense to anybody out there that does this, but the day that I wear sweats in public and drive a minivan is the day that I've basically mailed it
in. Yeah, I'll never have a minivan. Thank God, I'm past that stage. Minivans gave me the hives. I think they're awful.
That's right. I'm a man baby.
That's right. The man baby wears sweats.
The man baby. Oh, all right. He wears nice sweats.
I've got a good posture working these days, Waddle.
He's got a good posture working.
All right, you ready for some shot or no shot?
Yeah, let's play
Take it away. That's why I say.
Shot, no shot, with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I
say hey, man, I shot. Hey, shot, no shot, brought to you by the wonderful people at Lou Malnati, 62 locations and counting. Go to LouMalnati's.com to order online or find a location near you. Best pizza, salad, sweet vinaigrette dressing, dip the crust in. It's all amazing. LouMalnati's.com. is your spot. Northwestern football and basketball. They are Chicago's Big Ten team. Season and single game tickets always available at NUSports.com. Go Cats.
Danny. As we've discussed most of the morning, Derek Jeter inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday. He became the 57th player to be elected on his first attempt, missing a unanimous selection by one vote. Jeter received 396 of the 397 ballots cast by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Mariano Rivera remains the only player to ever get 100% of the vote. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, we never see a player on 100% of the Hall of Fame ballots again.
No shot, Danny. Come on, that's a bad question. Yes,
really? If Derek Jeter didn't get 100%, tell me who will.
It's Mike Trout, so it's an absolute no shot. When Mike Trout is eligible, he will 100% be
on every
single
Black
ballot.
Black knows how to play the game. He gave me an example. Yes, he just didn't say, bad question, move on, jean jacket, tattoo, beard.
It's going to be Mike Trout, 100%.
Yeah, Mike Trout is a 100% correct answer.
Actually, you're both wrong. Aramis Ramirez is on the ballot next year. He will get 100% of the vote from Cub fans.
Yeah. I'm figuring him, Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, Dusty.
Not Mark Pryor. We're not voting for Pryor, and we will never vote for Dusty.
Dusty as a player. So.
All right, moving on. Let's talk some football. We had a good conversation with Mike Tannenbaum. The 49ers, they really focus on their run game. Jimmy Garoppolo has attempted 27 total passes this postseason for 208 passing yards in the postseason. The Chiefs did a great job of shutting down Derrick Henry in the Titans' run game. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the local boy will throw the ball more than 27 times for more than 208 yards in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to say shot because they've got to keep up. Now, Mike Tannenbaum certainly is all in on the Niners winning, and he said they're going to control the clock, so he may not throw for more than 208 yards. I believe that he will, so I'm going to say shot.
Yeah, I think it's a shot. We saw a whole bunch of different times over the course of the season where Garoppolo did throw over 300 yards and especially 250 yards. So I think he will, because this game's going to be back and forth. I think there'll be a lot of scoring. And I don't think that the 49ers will be able to run the ball and control the clock like they did against the Packers. So you're going to need Garoppolo to throw the ball to win.
There you go.
Shot.
Moving back to baseball, the Cubs now have one fewer obstacle in the way of their offseason plan to trade Chris Bryant now that Nolan Arenado is off the market. The Rockies pulled Arenado from the trade block on Monday, which Arenado was not happy about. I asked you guys, shot or no shot, with no other difference-making third baseman available, Chris Bryant's trade value just skyrocketed for your Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I'm going to say skyrocketed, no shot. There'll be a handful of teams that will be in play, but most cannot take on an $18.6 million salary, and the Cubs aren't taking equal money back. So, yeah, I'm going to say no shot. He'll have a market, but it's a smaller market because of the money he makes.
No shot because of this stupid grievance that still isn't done. Right? Like, the reason we would have a skyrocketing market would be if teams are actually going to make a move. It seems like nothing's going to happen until the grievance is over.
Agreed.
And until that point, we don't know it. So it seems like everyone else has kind of moved on. Do you think teams are kind of waiting their offseason the way the Cubs have waited with their offseason to kind of make this, to have it be final, to then make their big plans? Like, I feel like teams have kind of solidified the position, gone out and gotten who they needed to get, and taken care of what they wanted to do.
Completely agree with you. They are hamstrung by this.
Like, who's the team that's going to be a high bidder for Chris Bryant now at this point? When Jesse said, what, yesterday, it could be two more weeks?
Okay, the Braves.
So two more weeks.
Atlanta will be in play there.
Okay, so one.
$32 million under the luxury tax.
Okay, so that's one team. And in 2 weeks, that's what, the second week of February? And pitchers and catchers report when? At the end of February?
February 11.
Oh, okay, so right there. So, I mean, you don't have a lot of time, and there's one team. And to make it the price skyrocket, you need a second team, no?
I would say Arizona could be in play.
The Dodgers.
Dodgers could be in play.
All right, yeah.
There are enough teams that there could be some bidding.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to still say no shot.
All right, moving on to Chris's favorite sport, the NBA. Zion Williamson, the top choice in last summer's NBA draft, is going to make his highly anticipated NBA debut tonight when his Pelicans host the Spurs. The former Duke star missed the Pelicans' first 41 games of the season. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, although he missed 41 games, Zion Williamson still wins the Rookie of the Year playing only half the season.
I'm going to say no shot. Ja Morant's going to be your Rookie of the Year. People love him. Zion's a very good player, but they're going to limit his minutes as he eases his way back in. So I'm going to say no shot.
It's a shot only because of this, Cap. I agree with the take on Ja Morant. He is by far the front runner right now. And the Memphis Grizzlies, one of the more surprising teams in the NBA. They're the eighth seed at the moment in the Western Conference to make the playoffs. If Zion comes back and the Pels jump from where they're at, they're only three and a half games behind Memphis for the eighth spot. If Zion has a big contribution to this team, jumping up, catching the Grizzlies, making the playoffs, I could see the hype surrounding that Zion Williamson, even though he missed a majority chunk of the season, that he's the Rookie of the Year. I could see it happening. Is it likely? Probably not. And Ja Morant's the leader, but they're only three and a half games back of Memphis, and if Zion is exactly who we think he is, and he contributes to this team, who's playing well, by the way, they've won five of their last seven games. I could see a case being made for Zion, but it's probably a no shot.
All right, gentlemen, I now hand the reins over of shot or no shot to Chris Bleck, who has a question for us.
Oh, okay. You guys tell me this, shot or no shot, is this okay? Yesterday I was in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working out, and it's pretty empty. There's a few people because, you know, it's we're now towards the end of January, so all the people who said that they were going to get in shape for 2020...
have already given up on their resolution.
Have now dropped off. So, like, people who go to the gym regularly, this is the best time of year because now the machines kind of free up, and there's spots for you because everyone has left the gym. That's a lesson. Keep working out. Keep doing it. Stick to it, Cap. One day you'll figure it out. All in.
Live life.
Live life all in. Okay, so I'm working out yesterday.
With a heart.
And I look over, and there's a guy doing the kettlebell, right? But he's doing the kettlebell shirtless. This is a
public gym?
Yeah, this isn't like my private gym in my house.
Well, if he was in your house shirtless, that would be even weirder.
Yeah, it would. But is it okay?
Phone ring.
Hey, honey, what's going on? Just got some dude over here with no shirt on.
Doing the kettlebell.
Working
out
with me.
Is it okay, shot or no shot, in a public gym to be shirtless, not in a workout studio? Like, you know how some gyms have a private studio where you can work out by yourself, or in a class where he's doing something with other people? He is out in the open in the free weights, shirtless, working out with the kettlebell. Is that okay? Shot or no shot?
No. That's disgusting.
No. Now, I do know some people that do CrossFit, and I love hot yoga. A lot of people do hot yoga and CrossFit shirtless. If you were in one of those situations, I guess it's a shot that it's okay because that's kind of welcomed in CrossFit and in hot yoga. But in Chris's gym, that's just a standard workout facility, absolutely no shot. Put a shirt on.
All right, we'll continue this discussion. Coach Q returned to the United Center last night. Was the tribute wonderful? Did you see it? We will discuss all of that next on Cap and Company.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's 11:34 in Chicago with Danny Zetterman and Chris Black. I'm David Kaplan. This hour brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge. Twin Peaks full-service bar features an extensive selection of draft served at 29 degrees in an ice-cold mug. Head for Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views with Danny and Chris. I'm Cap. Carmen and Yurko coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock. And then tonight, Jay Hood, Under the Hood, and he will have Stacey Dales from the NFL Network, who I love. She will be on his show, and it's after Notre Dame basketball. I think it's Notre Dame and Syracuse airing here on ESPN 1000. So Coach Q returned to the United Center last night, and he got a great ovation. They did a wonderful tribute video on the scoreboard to him that even moved him to be a little bit emotional. And then his Panthers went out and smacked the Blackhawks around. What did you guys think of the tribute? I know you didn't like the music, Danny.
Well, first of all, what I thought about the tribute is, where was it? Where was it? Listen, when I'm watching a regular season Blackhawks game in the middle of January, it's a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm glued to the Hawks game last night because it's Q's return, Kaner's 1,000th point. It's going to be a celebration. Cap, NBC Sports Chicago, your station joined the tribute in progress. What happened there?
Okay, so I talked to... So I was watching the game with Brett, my son, last night. We went out to dinner. We were out at a place called Greenwood. And we're sitting at the bar. And we're watching it, and there's... And Brett loves, for some reason, he loves tribute videos. I'm going to give a tribute to this guy. They're going to give a tribute to that guy. I'm like, yeah, they've already done that. Jake Arrieta already got a tribute when he came back. He's not getting another. Is Coach Q going to get a tribute? Yeah, Brett, we'll watch it. And it wasn't on. Thought, that's a little odd. And then I checked on social media later, and we saw it. Because the Florida Panthers TV station, Sports South or whatever it's called, they tweeted it out, and their announcers actually talked, you know, around it and said, boy, this is, you know, one of the great sports cities in America. What a beautiful tribute, blah, blah, blah. Didn't air on our station live like it should have. I reached out to my bosses, Kevin Cross, Senior Vice President, NBC Sports Chicago. And here was the statement that Kevin put out. Very eloquent. NBC Sports Chicago has a tremendous respect for Joel Quenneville and what he and the Chicago Blackhawks gave to Chicago during his tenure here. Our failure to run the magnificent tribute to him last night live on our broadcast was an unacceptable error, and we apologize to Coach Q, the Blackhawks, and all the great Blackhawks fans everywhere. We have addressed the issue internally with our staff, and we will make sure our fans are not underserved again in the future.
Kevin Cross, Senior VP, NBC Sports Chicago, who's a great dude. So it got
FUBAR. That was a shame that we missed that live in progress as it happened. Now, as far as the tribute goes, the tribute itself was great. Great package to see Coach Q with the boys. What? It made me reminisce about the time that I... All right, Chris. It made me reminisce about the times when he was still with the Blackhawks, the second winningest coach in NHL history, the winningest coach in the history of the Blackhawks organization. It made me long for those days. I did have one major problem with it. First and foremost, I was not aware that Coach Q had blue eyes, if he does. They played the song, The Who's Behind Blue Eyes, for the tribute video. Mm-hmm. That is a depressing, sad song sung from the perspective of a villain. The lyrics are, no one knows what it's like to be the bad man. No one knows what it's like to be the sad man. No one knows what it's like to be hated. I mean, this is not the kind of song you play to show your respect for someone. Now, maybe Coach Q has blue eyes, and I texted about 9, 10 of my friends that are hockey fans, real hockey fans, and asked, does Coach Q have blue eyes? Is this a known thing that I just didn't know about? Uh-huh. And none of them were aware of it. So it's not like he's Frank Sinatra that you called him old blue eyes. Maybe he does have blue eyes and it's a fitting song. Just as a guy that's watching hockey last night to see the tribute, and then all of a sudden I see it and I hear this song, I'm thinking to myself, what a depressing, angry song to play for a coach that you're showing your appreciation for.
Yeah, I understand. I guess he's a huge Who fan.
But the Who, that's not the Who's only hit.
I'd have to ask if that's his favorite Who song.
People keep coming at me on Twitter saying Coach Q loved the Who. I get that. I love Pearl Jam. There's upbeat Pearl Jam songs you could play if you wanted to honor me, and then there's sad, depressing, angry.
Better Man?
That's not an upbeat song you could play, but that, you know, is a good song. Alive is an upbeat song. There's upbeat songs, and then there's not upbeat songs. And if he loves The Who, you could go to their catalog and pick songs that really would fit the moment and make you feel like we're showing our respects and honoring this guy, not this sad, depressing, kind of downer of a song. And if he has blue eyes, okay, but I don't know if every Blackhawk fan knows that.
Chris, thoughts? Because, look, stuff happens. Blank happens. Kevin Cross owned up to it on behalf of my bosses at NBC Sports Chicago. It happened. Sorry, guys. It happened. And you move on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Just watching last night, I would like to see it because I know it's available on social. The Hawks tweeted it out. NBC Sports Chicago tweeted it out. Everyone tweeted it out. I've yet to actually sit down and consume it, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's there. I was looking to watch it last night. I think what they probably should have done was, even if it got messed up or whatever, they should have just shown it in the intermission following the first period, because that would have made a lot of sense. Hey, this is what took place in the period. Here's a recap of the period. Here's also Coach Q's video that we played in stadium. Here it is for you if you're at home. Boom. Simple. I know Pat Boyle said they played in the postgame show. Mm-hmm. So if you stuck through the entire postgame show, you got to see it there. It's not that big of a deal. I would have liked to see it, but I didn't.
It is.
And I agree with Danny. The song is a little, it doesn't seem like it was a celebratory moment.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man.
I get your point. I do. I do get it.
It's a great song. And when I'm like pissed off or I'm in a down mood, I put this on and it makes me sulkier.
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 Yeah. I mean, and you're consuming this all live last night. I think sitting at home, you could be a skeptic and think, wow, the song's kind of off. They didn't show it on TV. They showed all of Patrick Kane's stuff before the game. What's going on here? Clearly, someone doesn't like Quinville over at the UC. What I mean? Like that's the impression I think many of us could get from sitting at home last night.
So I thought the Patrick Kane thing was really cool. And having known this kid from the day after he was drafted, I got to meet him at the Cubs game when he sang the seventh inning stretch, or 2 days after he was drafted. And I remember him being in the lunchroom in the press area at Wrigley. And he's like, am I allowed to have something to drink from that machine there? It was a soda fountain. And I'm like, yeah, whatever you want. Who's is your dad working? That's what I literally said to him. Is your dad working?
Oh,
here?
No, you didn't.
Honest to God.
No, you didn't.
You can
Cap,
ask him.
Cap, you know who Patrick Kane was.
No. I did not know that little kid.
You thought he was a little Timmy looking for a fountain drink?
Yeah. Yes. And he literally looked up at me and he goes,
Mister, can I have some porridge?
Yeah. I actually was drafted by the Blackhawks yesterday. I'm like, oh, you're Patrick Kane. Like, I knew they drafted Patrick Kane, but the Hawks were like a non-story back then. And excuse me, am I allowed to get a soda right there?
Please, like, Mr. Kaplan, can I have some soda pop?
I mean,
I'm parched.
It was, wow, that little guy's the number one pick in the draft. We're in trouble. And here he is. He's going to be the greatest American-born player of all time. All right, we'll take some of your calls. People want to weigh in. 312-332-3776. Did you like the tribute yesterday? Now that you may have gotten to see it on social, your thoughts about it. And was it cool for you that Coach Q was back? 312-332-3776. All of your calls on Chicago's Home for Sports. It's Cap and Company, ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Because we give you the straight scoop. And I just got off the phone. And here is why they chose that song. Little birdies are telling me that song was the requested choice of Boo Quenville. That is Joel's wife. Isn't her name Boo?
No clue, but I don't believe it. Your birdies are doing a nice cover-up for the Blackhawks dropping the ball in the song.
My birdies don't work for the Blackhawks.
Okay, your birdies could have heard from some birdies that that's a good cover-up. Why would the Blackhawks, making a tribute for Coach Q, ask his wife, what song should we use? Like, in what world does that make sense? If one day when you're retired from ESPN 1000, I promise you this, we're not asking Mindy what song to play for you.
Because we'd know.
And we'd know you well enough to know, and we wouldn't play a depressing, sad, hateful song. I don't believe those birdies at all, but I appreciate them calling you. It's good spin. It's good spin. I like Chris's theory. And somehow we're late to come back to the tribute. Then we play a hateful song on the tribute.
His wife is Elizabeth, better known as Boo.
We're not hung up on her name right now. We're past her name. We're not
I'm
hung up on her name.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of that
one.
I'm glad
we got her name.
You know what?
We're not
Truth
hung
seekers.
Up on her name. And I'm going to throw into Chris's. I'm going to throw into Chris's conspiracy because I love it so much. Late to the tribute, a hateful, sad song. Your guy Charlie Remiliotis.
Charlie Rumeliotis.
Yes, Rumeliotis had a great Twitter video of Coach Q in the hallway with Taves and Keith and Seabrook and Kaner. Did you see it after the game?
Yes.
He was holding court with them. And guess what? Some Blackhawk PR person could not break it up quick enough. Through the whole entire video, you hear, all right, everybody to the press room. We got to break this up. We got to break it up to the press room. They didn't want the feel-good story. They did not want the feel-good story.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to tell me that Coach Q's wife wanted them to break that up?
No.
Did Coach Q's wife want NBC Sports Chicago to miss the tribute? Let's blame her for everything.
Wow.
It's 22 degrees in Chicago because of Q's wife.
Oh, my God. I'm simply telling you that she wanted that song.
I don't believe it. Why would they ask her? And why would she pick a sad song?
No one knows what it's like.
Wow. Guys are unbelievable. Hawks do this beautiful tribute video.
Nobody could see it.
Nobody could see it. Go on social media. It was great. And then Pat Boyle replayed it.
Who's watching the second post-game segment? Listen, I love Pat Boyle more than anyone, but I committed to a hockey game. That's all you're going to get from me.
Pat Boyle's post-game show does excellent ratings.
Yeah, and where was Sharpie and where was Burrish on that post-game show yesterday? Because when Coach Q returns, one would think you'd schedule those two guys.
They're on vacation. On vacation.
No one convenient. Knows what it's like.
Convenient. We're adding that to the conspiracy.
Oh, my God.
They tried to silence Q's former players.
You are unreal, man. You are unreal. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Mario, welcome to the show.
Hey, Cap, how are you?
What's up?
I live
up?
South,
Well, I live on South Beach. I was able to catch the game last night. And, of course, you get the post-conference and the early morning thing. You know, Coach Cruz looks really, really grateful and happy for the tenure. I didn't sense any bitterness. And as far as the celebration, you know, here on the channel, it seems it was either different camera angles or it seemed like it was edited. But, yeah, I mean, I think they got the message out. I was glad to have them back, and you can hear the response through the fans in Chicago.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for the call. Yeah, I thought in your announcers for the Florida Panthers did a really nice job talking around the video just to say what a great sports city it is and what a beautiful tribute. I thought it was cool. So thanks, thanks, Mario. Enjoy South Beach, man. 312-332-3776. Randy's in Mantino. Hi, Randy.
How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Great. So my angle on all of this, and I told the other fellow to answer the phone, I really believe that they picked the song they did because when Q was fired from the Blackhawks, nobody appreciated that. Nobody liked it. They were sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of is reflected in the song they chose.
It's a good point. That's a valid point. I think, I believe that this was what Boo Quenneville, Joel's wife, said, we would like that song.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, I really didn't even see the presentation because it wasn't on, you know, TV last night for me.
Right.
But. And I'm really not worried about it. I mean, I always have my own feelings about how good the man was as a coach. And if that's what his wife wanted, fine. But I still think it reflects kind of a sadness on the part of the Chicago fan base when they just fired him.
Interesting point. Interesting perspective. Randy, thanks, man. Have a good day,
you
okay?
Bet. You
too. See you, kid. 312-332-3776. Don's in Homer Glen. Hey, Donnie, what's up, babe?
Not much, guys. Hey, good, great show. I really enjoy it.
Appreciate that.
I haven't viewed the video yet, but being a Hawks production, you know, I'd rather have a fan's perspective for the Who song. How about We Won't Get Fooled Again or The Best I Ever Had?
Yeah, I mean,
I think that would be more appropriate.
Look,
I don't know.
He is a huge, huge Who fan, and if this is the song that they wanted to use, and I appreciate the call, Don, then I got no issues with it. It was a tribute to him. It's a one-off. It's a one-time thing. It's not going to happen again. He was an amazing, amazing coach. He's an even better guy. So if this is the song that Mrs. Quenneville said, please use that song.
Can we say allegedly Mrs. Quenneville chose?
Okay.
I've got
allegedly
to call into her to confirm.
No one knows what
why don't you get her on?
To be the bad
say,
man.
Hey, Boo, can you come on with Cap for a minute?
Be the sad man behind blue eyes.
Okay. I'm going to try. I have Joel's number. I'm going to text Joel, and I'm going to ask him. And if he says, yes, that was the song that my wife and I chose, Danny, I want you to come on the air tomorrow and go, okay, I was wrong forever doubting it. Because I'm telling you, he loves the Who, and it would not shock me if this is an accurate way to look at it. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Again, Carmen Yerk will be in mere moments for Crosstalk. Waddle and Sylvie at 2 o'clock. And then tonight after Notre Dame and Syracuse, you get under the hood with our guy Jonathan Hood and Stacey Dales from the NFL Network will be on the program as well.
Cap, I'd like you to go to line two. Luckily for us, I got Coach Q on the air.
I'll bet you do. Hello.
Yeah, hey, David. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Good. I didn't like the song choice at all. Kind of embarrassing when you think about it. Nobody likes winning more than me. Nobody. That's the song they choose? Embarrassing.
So, Boo, your wife, of many, many years, didn't have any say in this song.
No. She was over at Paige's getting flapjacks and bacon in the morning and never even consulted with her. Terrible. Thought I deserved more after everything I brought to this city.
What song would you have liked, Joel?
What's wrong with what, Cap?
What song would you have liked? Like the call to the post?
I would have
since you liked the horses?
I would have liked... maybe Bonnie the Bugler, something like that, or any other horse themed song. I gotta go, Cap. Got practice.
So that settles that.
That was awesome.
No one knows what it's like.
That was awesome. Wow.
To be the sad man.
Anyway, we've got to take a quick time out. Crosstalk is in exactly 2 minutes. No.